things were not going as they should. Anytime a project was undertaken, things went wrong. Sometimes small, sometimes big, but have no doubt, things were not as they should have been. Everyone knew it. It showed up everywhere. It pervaded everything. It was systemic. People began to speak of it as the problem. There was not a corner of humanity where the problem did not raise its head. It bogged everything down. Throughout the history of the world, the problem seemed to grow. Groups of the most important and powerful people gathered together to try and rid the world of the problem. The problem consumed resources, money, energy, materials. So the great financiers and corporate leaders met atop the tallest skyscraper, far above the hustle and bustle of the world, far out of reach of the problem. Their goal was to raise enough money and sock it away to combat the problem. They figured if the companies worked and made money, they would put people to work to create a grand society where resources abounded and people worked and were happy and had everything they dreamed of. So they all began working, sometimes together, sometimes independently. These CEOs and bankers invested and saved. They worked hard. Some companies did well, some did not. Some failed. It was inexplicable. The problem was working against them despite their best efforts. Pretty soon, they became distrustful of one another. They kept secrets from one another. And then the CEOs focused on earning more money, thinking that that was the most important thing to combat the problem. And they began to compete with one another. And they tried to find the cheapest labor. They used cheaper and cheaper materials. They looked for more natural resources. Some people were working in less than optimal conditions, but the money was the important thing. Some would have to sacrifice now for the utopian vision that would come about when the problem was solved. Then the bankers realized that they could set up structures that would allow them to earn money by investing and planning for companies and people to fail. And money was what was needed after all. And hey, if people were going to fail, we should at least make money to make sure that the problem goes away. Some good, right? If it's good, it should come out of the failure. Then the financial leaders realized that the people had a finite amount of money. They didn't spend it. They couldn't make more to defeat the problem. So they created credit to increase spending. And of course, for some fees, the people could get now what they would have to wait for later. Might never get. And those modest fees help the companies make more money. Then the CEOs and the bank presidents and other financial leaders saw that big pile of money and how hard they were working, and they thought they should get more of it, loads more of it. After all, that would inspire them to work harder and make more and do more with it and earn more so that the problem could be beaten. It could be beaten, right? Well, people are exploited, the environment pillaged, personal incomes enslaved to pay the rising credit fees, but it's worth it, right? It was all a means to the end of beating the problem. The people went along with it. What else could they do? Well, then the government and military leaders saw what the financial people were doing. They thought they should get in on the act. They legislated and they debated. They created tax structures to help raise money, but also to help the companies raise money and create jobs and build things. They controlled people through laws so as to focus on the common good and beat the problem. But then they couldn't agree on what was causing the problem. It was a lack of morality in the culture, some said. Others thought too much was being done to help the companies and that they could do it themselves, so they stepped in to address the problem. And more people, already exploited and enslaved, were caught in greater bondage, trapped in governmental solutions that were meant to solve the problem. And then neighboring governments began to argue. They talked and they made treaties, but some still wouldn't behave. What other solution was there but to threaten violence? But those other ones, they didn't back down when threatened. And instead, they threatened back, so the threats became reality. And corrupt and tyrannical governments needed to be taken down. They were agents of the problem, you see. And sure, there had to be some compromises, but come on, the problem wouldn't just go away if we stuck to some idealistic notion of what was right. Some people, some innocent bystanders are just going to have to die if we want to snuff the problem out. It's all for the greater good. Well, now, others also got into the act. Some saw the problem as being a lack of information. People just didn't know enough. So the internet and the information systems gurus got into it. They created media that helped people see the bigger picture. Now hundreds of television channels existed. The internet ran rampant with bloggers and websites that provided loads of information, all without spin. Every day, people were given the ability to put up what was happening in their backyards. And people could then appreciate the wonders of nature as they watch endangered birds hatch from a new clutch of eggs. And information and power flowed into everyone's houses. But then the problem arose there as well. Hate groups filled the bandwidth with horrible messages that encouraged violence against others who were different. Terrorists showed the massacre of individuals and encouraged the destruction of even more. Degrading sexual imagery streamed into our homes and encouraged us to objectify other human beings. The problem arose here, too. Well, even more people thought we should use the human ability to create and invent. Technology was employed by engineers and physicists in the battle against the problem. And that, too, was found to be corrupted by the problem. Geneticists and physicians began to look at human beings to combat the problem. And despite their research and healing arts, people still died. People were infected themselves by the problem. In fact, some people began to wonder if the problem just wasn't human beings anyway. Every single way that human beings tried to work against the problem, it just found a new way around the current solution. And the religious leaders, well, they tried to work together, but they ended up yelling at each other. They can't get around the problem. And then philosophers began wondering if there really was a problem after all. And more ink was spilled and more trees felled and electrons spewed out as their confusing debate raged on. Pretty soon, there was nothing but a mass of humanity at odds with one another. Every time someone pushed against the problem, someone else resisted, pushing and pulling at odds with one another. The problem was thoroughly entrenched no matter what was tried to oust it. All of the powerful forces and the people in the world could not escape it. And then one solitary voice appears to announce the end of the problem. A voice that did not come to the high and the mighty, but a group of lowly workers out in the field eking out a meager existence. And the voice said, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." The solution to the problem was not going to be one of our own making. The problem was not something we could do on our own, could not solve on our own. The problem, after all, was sin. The cosmic force that ripped us apart, all of our relationships. Sin divides us, drives us apart, and we cooperate with it. And we are, in fact, its source. Since we desired not to live in the foundational relationship given to us at creation, we chose differently from what our loving Creator desired and ruptured all relationships from that point on. And yet, there is that voice announcing the end of sin, bringing good news of great joy for all the people. The solution has arrived, and it is not us. The loving Creator continued his love even when we turned away. And now the undeserved grace of God appears, bringing salvation to all, redeeming us from the problem. What is this solution? Well, that heavenly voice continued. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger. This child is the solution that works against the problem. This child is the peace brought to earth, not only to heal the ruptures of our worldly relationships between each other, the creation, and our own lives, but this child brings the peace that ends the hostility between human beings and God. This peace, this healing wholeness, will bring about utopic visions desired by all humans and attempted to be achieved. This peace, though, will require death. The death of our own visions of self-importance and power and might. And the death of this child, who, when he grows, will battle the whole arsenal of ways that the problem comes and worms its way into our very best efforts to stop it. This one, this child who saves us, will anger us. We will rise against him until his accusing words stop. But the loving God who sent him will not stop his boundless love. This child born to lowly parents will be raised and shown to be Savior, Messiah, Lord. Only this one can bring about the end of the problem. Only the love of God can end the power of sin by loving us completely, not by engaging in the powers of this world. The Father shows us his love through the Son, and in the power of the Spirit seeks to unite us to himself and one another. This child born this night is not born in any way that we might expect. So we cannot try to take credit ourselves or usurp God's position yet again or use him to prop up these powers so infiltrated with the power of sin, no matter how hard we might try to do them ourselves. But this child appears to show us the grace of God. And in being so loved, we, along with the world around us, might one day be transformed, partially now, and one day, fully, and finally. The problem was not financial, or industrial, or monetary, or governmental, or technological, or scientific, or genetic, or philosophical. So God did not send a CEO, or a president, or a scientist, or a geneticist, or a thinker. The problem was sin. So God sent us a Savior who bears love and forgiveness and peace to transform us and defeat the problem once and for all. Thanks be to God. Amen.